How would you like to heal your nervous system with EFT tapping? Jessica Tallien will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Jessica is she's a former medical professional turned master life and business success coach. And she's a master NLP and EFT tapping practitioner who started her healing and transformation journey over a decade ago. And since then, she discovered very powerful holistic modalities such as EFT tapping to not only help rewire the subconscious mind and nervous system, but to manifest at a rapid pace as well. And Jessica was diagnosed with a learning disability, doubted her whole life, and is now the CEO of the number one tapping certification, the host of a global movement, A Stronger You, and most importantly, she is devoted to helping people transform their life from the inside out. So, Jessica, tell us about what is EFT tapping and how can people heal or rewire their nervous system with it?
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Yeah, well, hi, thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here. So EFT tapping stands for emotional freedom technique. And if you just take a moment and just really feel those words, emotional freedom technique. So essentially, it's supporting you in being free from any stuck emotions, anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, anxiety, overwhelm. And the cool thing about tapping, which is what really pulled me into it, was it's science-backed. There's so much research scientifically backed behind EFT tapping. And so I was always like skeptical when I first saw it because you see people tapping on their face. And for me, I didn't really fully believe it at first. And then I started studying it and learning about it, doing my own research and learning scientifically that it can reduce your cortisol levels by 42% in a single session. So essentially there are certain points on our bodies that are called meridian points, very similar to the points that they use in acupressure and acupuncture. It's actually derived from acupressure and modern psychology. So essentially you're tapping on these points and what it does is it sends a signal to a part of your brain that's called the amygdala. And it basically tells the amygdala it is safe for you to feel this past emotion because everything stays in the body unless we free it and we heal it and we move through it, right? One of my favorite quotes is, in order to heal it, you have to feel it. And so a lot of times we're kind of scared to feel something that once was maybe traumatizing or hurtful. And so as you're tapping, you're sending the signal to the brain where you feel safe. And whether you believe it or not, it actually works because it's science backed. So that's like a little spiel of what EFT tapping is in a nutshell.
Thank you. How did you discover EFT tapping as a tool for healing your nervous system?
Yeah, so I've been in the personal development industry now for 10 years. And about 5 to 6 years ago, I saw people tapping on their face. And again, like I said before, I thought it was silly. I thought it was woo. Is this just like another like woo, 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 whatever? And then I did some research on it and I saw Tony Robbins swears by it. And there's these other very high level, high achievers in this world that use it. And so one day I decided to go get certified as a life coach and get my master's in NLP. And it just so happened that the school I went to certified you in EFT tapping. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so interesting because I've been interested in it, but I wasn't going to go out of my way to like learn it. If it was in my aura, in my energy, in my field, I would learn it. So I got certified in it and I practiced it on myself first because I'm the type of coach, if you will, the mentor that I cannot guide someone through something that I haven't done myself and if it works. So I brought myself through it. And when I started tapping consistently every day, two things happened. I hit my highest cash month in my business and I feel that I really healed my anxiety with tapping, which is crazy to say. And I don't want to say like, I shouldn't say healed completely, because I believe no one's ever fully healed, right? It's an onion. Healing is an onion. But I now have a tool for when it does come back. If it does, I know how to manage it and work with it.
Thank you. So does EFT tapping work in collaboration with certain words or phrases that you say, or is it on its own?
Yeah. So EFT tapping, if you are working with a practitioner and a practitioner is writing you a script, it's based on your subconscious patterning and your limiting beliefs. I also have like thousands of EFT tapping videos and scripts. And with those, they're more generic based. So you might be able to relate to them. And if you go on YouTube and you search EFT tapping, I've had clients that have really received healing from it and transformation and seen results, but it's more powerful when you have your own custom script because you are receiving through your own subconscious patterning. So it's like customized for you.
Thank you. So let's say if you knew that someone had been verbally abused for a really long time, and let's say you knew that it causes sore throat and cough, how would you release that so that the person kind of starts to heal and to feel safe to speak up, for example, and to perhaps create more wealth through speaking?
Yeah, I love that. That's such a powerful question because I have actually been in a physical and emotionally abusive relationship, which before and after my throat chakra, my voice mute. Like the way I'm speaking now, Jessica 5 years ago would have never thought. So essentially that definitely could be a process. It all depends on the person and where they're at in their journey. But we meet you where you're at. So in tapping, we're never going to write you a script or help you through the practice of tapping unless you're ready to feel those feelings. So through certain specific powerful questionings, when you work with a practitioner, we sit down and we understand what it is how it feels to not, you know, have that sore throat. How does that feel? How is that affecting you? And being abused, really diving into that. And as we dive into that, as the practitioners, they're trained to write very specific, powerful scripts for the client to receive. And it's crafted so that you're not forgetting the memory, you're not hating on it, you're honoring it and you're accepting it and you're loving it. And you're allowing yourself to let go from that.
Thank you. So would you include some of the trauma that kind of happened into the wording? For example, like, even though my grandma beat me from 4 until 18 years old, and she used to call me that, you know, fat, ugly and stupid, the reality is that I am strong and powerful and I can speak up. And so would you include a little bit of the trauma that happened into the wording, and then during that you would do the tapping, or would you include only empowering words and empowering phrases into what you're tapping?
Yeah, that's a great question. So you would include both. You would include the negative and the positive. That's like how I like to like state it. So it's a little more like where everyone's able to understand it. But yes, you would include the things that hurt you and the powerful things that you want to feel. Because like I mentioned before, we get to feel it to heal it. And, you know, there are some misconceptions about EFT. There are, you know, people on the internet that are just tapping on like, I'm excited to manifest $1 million, or I can't wait to have a successful business. Like, yes, those are great. And what is the stuck emotion that's stopping you from getting there? And then that's where the trauma work comes in and you're able to work with that.
Thank you. Would you then basically put your finger on it and say, even if I feel unworthy every time I speak to a wealthy client, for example, or even if I feel unwanted or unloved every time I try to have a great relationship, I now am open to having a great relationship, that kind of thing? Or give us like a better example so we can understand how this would work in practice in terms of what you say.
Yeah, so that would be one part of the statement, right? What we call the setup statement. So at the beginning of a tapping session, there is one specific meridian point. It's on the side of your hand. It's called the karate chop. And you would say something like, even though I don't, you know, an example, even though I don't feel worthy speaking to high level clients. I don't feel like they really hear me. Even though I feel this way, I choose to deeply and completely love and accept myself. And essentially, you would state the setup statement, which is the main intention of this tapping session. You would state that three times at the beginning. And then depending on which technique you go through, because there's different ways to tap, definitely something that I can't like fully explain in this podcast. But depending on which technique you use, that you would then create the whole sequence for the tapping. But that would be the start of it. So you're feeling it and you're honoring it and you're seeing it, and it feels safe to feel it because of the meridian points that we're tapping on. It's your body might feel it a little bit, but essentially through monitoring it with the SUDS scale, which is a scale that we use in tapping, we see the progress of, okay, it's still there. Like I'm not forgetting the memory. I'm always going to remember it, but the emotional charge reduces significantly. And sometimes it happens, like you go from a 10 to a 1, 10 meaning you feel it so strong, 1 meaning it's barely there. Sometimes it happens in one session. Sometimes it takes 5. Sometimes it takes 10. But just like anything, consistency is key. So if anyone listening to this, or if I don't know if you've tried tapping before, but if you do it one time, it's not a magic pill, right? There is no magic pill in this life. But it can work wonders from one session. All depends on the severity of the emotion and how deeply it's felt.
Thank you. Is the EFT tapping happening in a certain order? Like, for example, I've had tapping done. I mean, I did tapping on myself, guided by someone, and it was always in a certain order. I can't remember the exact order, but I think it was from the crown of the head, and then the temples, and then the certain. So basically, tell us more about: is there a particular order that every EFT tapper needs to follow, or does it vary based on the technique?
Yeah, so EFT was derived with 9 different points. The first one being the side of our hand. That's where you start. That's the setup statement. And once you finish at the side of the hand, we don't come back to that. And then we follow starting at the crown of the head. And then we come to the top of the eyebrow, or the inner part of your eyebrow. And then the side of your eye. Then we come down to under your eye, under your nose, on your chin, your collarbone, and under your arm. And so those are the 8 points that you keep repeating in the sequence. And so that's the main sequence that all practitioners follow. Some people do, some people don't. Something that I always say is everyone stores energy and trauma differently. So if you are tapping on a point and you're doing a self-tapping, inside my certification, I teach people how to bring themselves through tapping, their own tapping experiences. And if you're tapping on the side of the eye and you're just really feeling like a huge release, you don't need to move under the eye right away. You can keep going in that particular part, because maybe you just feel something there. And that's why I really love teaching EFT. I'm a really big advocate for us as humans to listen to our intuition, because yes, logically that's how you do it. You know, there's a certain amount of times that we recommend tapping on each point, but if you're really feeling it at the side of your eye, keep going there. When you feel ready to move on, you move on.
Thank you. How long from the moment you started doing EFT tapping until the moment that you started noticing some really big changes in your business?
Yeah. So when I started doing it, I was not consistent in the beginning. I learned it. I did a little bit here, a little bit there. But then I remember it was August. I can't remember which year, but it was in August. And I said, I'm going to tap every single day in August, and I'm going to tap around money. How I feel about money, the negative and the positive. And that month, I hit my highest cash month in my business.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So tell us about like the jump that you made financially. How big was it? Like 10 times, 2 times, or like how much bigger was it versus like what you were making before?
Yeah. So I was going from around $3,000 to $5,000 months. And that month I hit a $20,000 month.
Thank you. And what would you say like made the difference? Like what were you saying while you were tapping?
Yeah, so it was definitely many things, right? I definitely give 90% of my credit to tapping, because when I started tapping, then I shifted my energetic state, my frequency shifted. So then I started showing up differently, right? So it's not just I tap and I don't do anything. I tapped. And then as I was tapping, I was healing through negative feelings, negative emotions when it came to money and success in my business. So then as I was tapping, I was able to show up differently. I felt more confident being seen. I felt more confident raising my prices. I felt more confident selling every day. You know, I had a previous limiting belief that sales was bad, like selling was bad. And I was able to really develop and believe the belief that sales is service. So it was a multitude of things that supported myself through the tapping, and through that, my actions changed because my energetic state changed.
Thank you. Would you say that you reduced a lot of the fear, and that was also like a big part of becoming more successful financially?
Yeah, I would say with tapping, it definitely supported me in releasing the fear. I believe that's one of the biggest things as entrepreneurs and business owners that we experience is fear. Maybe it's fear of failure, fear of success, fear of what if no one sees this? What if people think it's stupid? All the things under the sun. And so with tapping, you can definitely use on fear. It's something that I do all the time. Whenever I'm developing something new in my business, a new project, or anything new, and I have any fear that comes up, I go straight to tapping. I allow myself to process it instead of just letting it stay in my body. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people say, journal it. Yes, I love journaling. And it's so much more powerful to be able to speak it out and process it versus it just going on paper. So I really give a lot of my credit to that.
Thank you. And many people live in a constant state of stress. How does tapping help them move from fight or flight into kind of leveraging that for success?
Yeah, that's a great question. So tapping also regulates your nervous system. When you have high levels of stress, you're operating from a dysregulated nervous system. Maybe you're in fight or flight. There's a few other like states that you could be in. But essentially, if you're in stress, maybe you're always feeling like you're on the go. You're on go, 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 go. And through tapping, you're literally rewiring your subconscious mind and your nervous system to feel safe, feeling what it is that you really want to feel.
Thank you. What are some common emotional blocks you see people release through EFT?
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the biggest one is fear, the feeling of fear. And like I said before, there's many different types of fear. I would say fear and anxiety / being overwhelmed about speaking on stages, being overwhelmed about speaking on a podcast, having anxiety when it comes to business as well. I would say those are the top, fear and anxiety are like the top things I really see people go to EFT for and see great benefits from it.
Thank you. How can EFT help with self-doubt or burnout? And what would people say to eliminate or reduce self-doubt or burnout?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question one more time?
How can EFT tapping help with self-doubt or burnout?
Yeah. So when it comes to self-doubt and burnout with EFT tapping, it can definitely help it. And like, for example, give me an example, self-doubt in what specifically?
So let's say that I don't think I can deliver on this project because I don't think I'm good enough for it.
Okay. And so why don't you think you're good enough for it?
Maybe because I'm a perfectionist and I just don't think that anything that I do is going to be good enough.
Mm, yeah. And that's so valid. And so how do you want to feel instead?
I want to feel relaxed and in control.
Yeah. And what do you feel like being relaxed and in control is going to give to you and bring to you?
Well, it kind of brings me to relaxation again.
Yeah. And what does relaxation mean to you? How does that, if you were to tie an emotion to it, how would you describe relaxation?
Like inner peace, contentment, happiness.
Yeah. So with that, we would write the tapping script when it comes, you know, going deeper. That was just very like basic questioning, we would go even deeper into the negative and deeper into the positive through powerful, specific, intentional questioning and bring you through it with EFT tapping.
Thank you. How can someone heal their relation to finances through tapping? Like, what would they say?
Yeah. So everyone has a different relationship to money, right? Some people have an anxious attachment style. Some people have an avoidant attachment style. The goal is to get into secure, like a very secure attachment, very similar to attachment styles when it comes to relationships. I feel like a lot of people understand like, oh, I'm an anxious, I'm an avoider. And so essentially it's having awareness of what is your attachment style. Do you avoid money? Do you fear spending money? Do you have a fear of keeping money in your bank account? Do you feel like you have to hold on to money and not spend it? Do you have, you know, diving into what your money story is. And when you dive into your money story, you're able to figure out where those came from, because our stories were really passed down to us. And we, you know, took on these beliefs that we have mostly between the ages of 0 to 8. That's when our subconscious mind was most active, when we were younger. So a lot of the times you see the way you act, not you personally, but the person listening to this, you act the way you do with money, the way your parents did. And if it wasn't a healthy relationship, it's an opportunity for us to heal that. And how do we heal it? Through awareness and feeling it and taking a different action. So instead of hoarding all your money, feeling fearful that, oh my gosh, if I tip $5 extra, I'm not going to have money for coffee in the morning. No, I can tip $5 extra because I know money's going to come back, because money's used as a tool. Money and wealth is something that I've studied so deeply at a really deep level. And so it's also something that a lot of my clients come to me and they get self-certified through the certification, because they're like, Jess, I'm ready to shift this money story, because I know whatever I'm doing with money, yeah, I'm making it, but I can't keep it and I don't know how to organize it. So I want to work with this.
Thank you. So what would you say, like, let's say someone who wants to transform their relationship with money, what would they say in EFT tapping to transform that?
Okay. Yeah. So I'll give you an example. So let's say we're starting to tap on the side of our hand, you know, depending on what their money story is, they would say something like, even though I have a fear that I won't be able to pay my bills, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Even though I have a fear that I won't make enough money this month to pay my bills, I know that everything's going to be okay, because I know everything was okay last month and I'm going to be safe. I have proof that I'm going to be able to do it. And even though that client didn't re-sign with me, that's okay, because I'm being protected and I'm being guided to know that I have more aligned clients on the way to me. And right now I'm clearing that emotional charge behind that feeling. So something like that would obviously just really depend on the person and their specific experience with the money.
Thank you. I noticed a few times you said, I deeply love and accept myself. What is the role of that particular affirmation? How important is it for someone to say that so that they can transform their financial future and their relationship to self as well and feel more secure in their body?
Yeah, great question. Love that question. So everything starts with self, right? And so when we hold any resentment, any anger toward any past versions of ourselves or the version of ourselves now, it's going to be really hard to heal from it. And so verbally stating out loud that I choose to love and accept myself for some people could be really uncomfortable. So there's a couple of different ways you can say it. You can say, I deeply and completely accept myself. I choose to love and accept myself. I choose to honor myself. Just really standing back into your power, knowing that you are making the decision to feel these feelings and to move on from them.
Thank you. How does someone leverage forgiveness as a way to transform their financial future and to feel more safe in their body?
Yeah, well, I could give you a personal example. So When I was younger, I had a very bad relationship with my brother. He was very mean to me, called me all the names in the book. He was emotionally abusive, which then I attracted men that were very similar to that because I held on to so much resentment toward my brother. I hated him. And now I don't hate him at all. I don't even use that word, but at the time I hated him. And so I held on to so much hate and resentment toward him. And then in my healing journey, I decided to release that resentment and forgive him. And the moment I forgave him, it's like a whole door unlocked. I started attracting different men and I started stepping more into my purpose, which allowed me to make more money, more impact in doing what I loved. And that didn't happen overnight at all. Like that was like years in the process, but it all stemmed from forgiving and letting go. And so by doing that, I stopped attracting something that I resented, because what you resist persists. And if you resist something a lot, it's going to keep coming. It's like when there's a bee around you and you swat the bee, it's going to come back around and try to sting you. It's like, get away, get away. It keeps coming back to you until you breathe and you stop putting that energy toward that thing.
So feel free. How can someone actually rewire their inability to forgive? Let's say they have a lot of harbored hate and anger towards a certain person. How can they start forgiving? What would they say while they're doing the EFT tapping?
Yeah. So if it's toward a certain person and not themselves, like let's say it was my brother, or it's your brother, it's your business partner, it's your sister. Really just starting off, it depends on wherever you're at, and wherever you're at is absolutely perfectly fine. You know, maybe your process looks different than my process or Lily's process. And so maybe even just acknowledging the fact that you're open to it. Maybe you, in the first session, maybe you don't feel comfortable fully forgiving, but you're open to it. So then you would use those words. Even though my brother wasn't very mean to me, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. And even though he was really mean to me, I'm open to possibly looking past that and forgiving him. So like, it really depends on where you're at, because forgiveness is big and you have to be ready to forgive, right? Just because, or maybe because you are hearing me talk about this on the podcast, you know, someone's receiving inspiration to forgive their brother or their sister or their father or their mother. I've worked with so many clients who've held on to so much resentment toward their fathers and their mothers. And the moment they let go of that resentment and they forgave them and they apologized for the resentment that they were holding, you know, it all depends on the situation. Not everyone deserves an apology. Not everyone, all the things depends. But when they were able to do that, they started attracting different people in business, different relationships, different friendships, with which then brought more of a sense of freeing feeling inside the body, which then attracts more money.
Thank you. For a really long time, I really hated my voice. I really hated like how I sounded on social media. I really hated looking at myself when I speak at events. And even now, I can say that I am a great speaker. I'm really fabulous. Okay. And I mean, like on stage, online, I'm fabulous everywhere. But I find it still hard sometimes to rewatch myself, like after, especially if I think I made a mistake. Like, for example, I spoke at an event recently and I was really nervous and I couldn't tell why. Like, I mean, yeah, there were some royals in the room and I mean, there were like, I don't know, 350, 400 people in the room. So it was like really important, you know, family offices and investors and, you know, people with a net worth of, I don't know, 900 million or whatever. And I was really nervous. And the other thing that happened was that there were two photographers and videographers that I had hired to take pictures of me, and they were not following my instructions, you know? And it's like, I felt like, you know, I always like being in control, and it annoys me a lot when people don't follow the instructions. And so like, I was watching them and I was just like getting so irritated. And I remember like watching the video of me at that event, and I still can't bear to look at it again, you know? I even forgot what I was going to ask you, but how does someone like accept themselves and forgive themselves as well when they are finding it really hard to do it, and when they are like self-hating on a part of themselves, like their voice, their look, their nose, their, I don't know, the way, yeah, like how chubby they are, or other things that may not be in accordance with what they would like to show up in the world?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you for sharing all of that. And so what has helped a lot of the clients that I work with is diving deep into where that's coming from. You know, asking yourself, is that me? Or is that something that, you know, my mom would make fun of me for, my father, or the people around me when I was younger make fun of me for? Or, you know, when was that first time? What was the first memory that I experienced maybe messing up in front of a crowd, and what happened? And a lot of times we fear that the same thing is going to happen. For example, when I was younger, I was at a cheerleading practice and I was cold, so I put my sweater on. And when I went to go put my sweater on, I had a piece of underwear fall out, because, you know, when you're doing the wash and the underwear gets stuck in the sweater. And I was so embarrassed, so embarrassed. And so it's crazy. This was like in second grade. And still to this day, anytime I go to put on a sweater, my body goes into this weird feeling of like, my heart drops, because I have fear of getting embarrassed. And so consistently rewiring our nervous system to know that it is safe. And I was kind of like a weird example, but it's the first one that came to mind. But through tapping, it's a really powerful way to remind the body that it is safe. It's okay. It's okay if you don't get the pictures. It's okay if this, you know, if something happens, because there's going to be more, and everything's happening at the right time. And I totally hear you as well. Like, Lily, when you're at a really big, could be life-changing event, and you hire photographers to do certain things and they don't do the things. And, you know, there's a lot there that we could unpack. And, you know, there's things that you can, you know, ask yourself is like, were you clear on the deliverables? Were they not? Did you have any inkling in your intuition that maybe they weren't the right photographers to bring to the event, and things like that? So there's a lot to unpack there. Does that answer your question?
Yes. And I was going to say also that with time, my ability to accept myself has increased. Like, if you were to kind of take me 5 years ago, you know, I really hated seeing myself in social media. And now I'm like, you know, it's fine. I don't even care if like I have one like, or, you know what I mean? Like, I feel so content just putting out content, and I'm like happy with it. And but I don't really know exactly what I did to kind of get there, to kind of have this bigger level of self-acceptance and self-love. But what I did notice is that when I'm in this frequency of love and joy, then it's like kind of easier to be in that space of self-acceptance as well. And sometimes when I'm not there, then it's kind of a little bit harder, but I'm still nowhere close to what I used to be, where I really like hated the look of myself in the, you know, or even used to hate my own voice. And now I think, wow, I have an amazing voice and I sound so sweet, and people should be like delighted to meet me, you know. And just this shift in perception has really made a massive difference, to the point like wherever I go in the world, like people are dying to talk to me. Like, really, I am like a superstar, like a Britney Spears, you know. I'm always joking about the fact that I'm like a chubby Britney Spears, and people are just like confused. Why is Britney Spears has put a tiny bit of weight, but they're still very lucky to meet me, you know. I'm wondering, what would someone say who is a person who is self-hating? What would they say to kind of transform that while they're doing the tapping?
Yeah. So again, it really depends on the specific person, but getting clear on what do they hate about themselves? Why do they hate it? And what do they really want instead? How do they want to see themselves? How do they want to view themselves? How do they want to feel inside their own body? How do they want to feel when they look at themselves on the camera? How do they want to feel when they hear themselves? And really tapping into that feeling and that emotion. A lot of us humans, we are cut off of our ability to feel. And that's actually one of our greatest superpowers, is our ability to feel. Like you said, when you're in joy and love, you're like radiating so freaking high. And those are the strongest, highest frequencies in the world. And those are feelings, right? Love and joy, that's an energetic feeling, a state of being. So if you are experiencing a deep level of hatred towards self, definitely a beautiful opportunity for you to really understand, like, what about yourself do you not like? And like, is that your voice or is that someone else's voice that you hear? And how can you love on yourself a little more? How can you love on the younger version of yourself, your inner child, right? Because your inner child is still inside of you. And look at where you are now. Like, what does your inner child need? What does the younger version of yourself need? How does the younger version of yourself feel seeing where you are now? Like, that's always been very, very healing for me. I have a picture of my younger self above my computer behind me. Because if she saw me where I am now, she would not believe it. This was a little girl who was doubted her whole life, said she wouldn't make it through college because she had ADHD and a learning disability. And now here I am speaking on stages, working with billionaires, working with regular people, helping them become irregular so that they can live a life that they truly love. So it's really cool.
Thank you. So in my case, I remember when I was really young, when I was about 10, my grandma found me, in bed, and I had peed myself because I was scared of her. So she removed my clothes and she put me outside to stand outside in the cold without clothes for 10 hours and in front of the house. And she used to be very, very cruel all the time. She would beat me every day. And she would put me to sit on walnut shells for 2 hours for taking a flower from the garden. I think, And also she used to say you're stupid, ugly, and fat, and so on. So I think a lot of the self-hate kind of comes from that. And yeah, a lot of the, trouble with the sore throat and so on, I think also comes from that. And knowing that, what would you say to kind of heal that with EFT tapping?
Yeah. So you would just really acknowledge where you were and all those feelings that you felt sitting on the walnut shells, standing outside naked, and really allow yourself to feel that and truly let it all come out. Sometimes cries might come out. Sometimes, lots of cries might come out, especially while you're tapping, which is completely normal. And it might be the first time you're feeling that, at such a deep level. And then, you can also love on yourself through that tapping session and bring yourself out of it through how it is that you really want to feel. But wow, that's such a deep, deep past that you have. That's definitely, you can't say everyone stood outside at a young age for 10 hours naked and was beaten by their grandmother. So wow. Do you feel like where do you feel like you're at with that and your healing journey? I'm so curious.
I don't feel like I'm affected by it, but I do talk about it a lot, on the Heal podcast, because, people have different healing modalities, and I'm always trying to find a practical way for any trainer that comes on to kind of explain how that would apply to a particular situation. And, I do talk about it a lot, but I don't feel like it affects me, although I'm sure it does, on an unconscious level. And yeah, I think my self-hatred level, it went up, it decreased from being very much hating on myself and very much thinking I was stupid to now realizing the complete opposite. and in terms of like self-acceptance and love and really feeling like a diva now. But I am still kind of, there are certain aspects of me that still need healing, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's an ongoing process. And what I love about like our healing journey is, you know, we receive different modalities and different ways of healing and different things depending on where we're at, right? Like sometimes this tapping will come to you at this time, and then maybe you're going to hear about breath work and hear about just being still with your emotions or going to a retreat or, you know, tapping and breath work and journaling. There's so many ways. And that's something that I love to tell people is like, healing isn't like a one size fits all. Like it's different for everyone. Everyone that I've worked with that's tried tapping under my wing, they haven't gone back. They stayed with tapping. I literally can't, and I'm not just saying that, I literally don't have any clients who've tried it and fully committed and didn't see results. But then there are people who try it one time and they're like, no, it's not working for me. But it's multiple things, right? And what I love most about tapping is it's the modality, but then after you tap, the feeling in your body, depending on what you're tapping on, you feel a shift. So then after you're done tapping, you take on the world differently. You show up differently. I remember one of my first really big stages that I spoke on, there were like 600 people and I was scared. I was like, all of my imposter syndrome was coming out, doubt, fear. Like I felt my throat closing. I was like, oh my God, what happens? What do I do? And so I just tapped on what I was feeling. And I was like, I see you, anxiety. I feel it really tight in my chest. And this is really scary speaking on a stage of 600 people, because in the past I was made fun of when I would speak and really like feeling it. And then naturally coming out of that into how it is that I would want to feel. And I started to feel like my energetic being radiate and vibrate. And I would step on stage and it was the best thing ever.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
Yeah. So you can connect with me multiple ways. My website, my Instagram. My Instagram is at jessica.tellian. You can find my website, www.astrongeryou.com. And I also have a podcast. It's A Stronger You Podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcast.
Thank you.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.